And I realized that with every lift and every time I went in, I felt like I was kind of bringing myself back to life. And I started to think about, you know, what if maybe strength isn't about how much weight we can put on the bar, but how we learn to manage life's struggles.
Welcome to the Barbed Podcast, where we talk to the smartest minds and the biggest personalities from around the world of strength. I'm your host, David Thomas Tao, and this podcast is proudly presented by Barbed.com. This is a fun one today. I'm talking to author Alyssa Aegis, who recently released a book called Secrets of Giants, A Journey to Uncover the True Meaning of Strength. Alyssa is herself a strength athlete. She's also a journalist, an author. She wears a lot of different hats. And in Secrets of Giants, well, she takes a deep dive into the science and psychology of why pushing our limits is so impactful and how we can achieve so much more than we know. That's her writing, not mine, right there. To do so, she talked to dozens and dozens of people from around the world who are in the strength community. Lifters, writers, journalists, people who run competitions, you name it. And here's the fun part. She actually interviewed me for the book, and my quotes appear a few times. It really blew me away and was a fantastic experience. I think Alyssa has a really neat perspective on what strength means and the lessons we can take from physical strength throughout the rest of our lives. Secrets of Giants is available for order and pre-order, depending on which retailer you're buying it from. Really happy she joined us. We actually recorded this a few months ago, but wanted to hold off until the book was available. Hope you all enjoy. Alyssa, I talked about it a little bit more specifically in the intro, but what I'm really curious about is how you got the idea for what is not only a book, but was a lifestyle change, a multi-year immersive experience. I don't even know how to describe it. Tell us about the genesis of this project.
Yeah. So Secrets of Giants is what I'm referring to as sort of part personal narrative, part research mission, part midlife crisis odyssey into the world of strength. So it started for me about 6 years ago. I'd been training for strongman. I was at my gym on this strip of AstroTurf and I was bear hugging an Atlas stone. And I went to stand up with it and I realized I was feeling exhausted and not like this is a hard workout exhausted, but like I could nap right here on this strip of fake grass exhausted. When I got home that day, I found out that I was pregnant. And 3 weeks later, I found out that I was miscarrying. And I went from being the strongest I had ever been in my life to suddenly feeling weak and vulnerable. And as I kind of grappled with this idea of what, you know, not knowing necessarily what the rest of my life was going to look like, I kept returning to the gym because it was this place of certainty for me. And I realized that with every lift and every time I went in, I felt like I was kind of bringing myself back to life. And I started to think about, you know, what if maybe strength isn't about how much weight we can put on the bar, but how we learn to manage life's struggles. So fast forward, I was turning 40, now a mom of two, and I decided to go on this journey. For me, it was back into the world of strongman because I had competed years earlier and was now going back into it to compete again after a number of years off trying to get pregnant, becoming pregnant, having my daughters, and, you know, went fully back into it, went and, you know, flipped tires and hoisted kegs and all the things. And along the way, I interviewed more than 75 athletes and coaches and psychologists and experts, yourself included, to try to really understand, you know, what is behind our obsession with physical strength. And along the way, I applied what I learned to my own journey.
So I have some more specific questions, but I have to ask, is mom strength a real thing? You knew this was coming.
Yes, it really is. I mean, there's a different motivation now. I want to be able to do things with my kids for a really long time. My parents are still really active. I run marathons because my dad ran marathons. We ran our last one together in 2014, I think it was. My mom can kick my butt at a bar class. Her core is stronger than mine. So I have that motivation now. I want to be able to, my girls love when I can, you know, hoist them over my head with one hand. I always want to be able to do that.
Well, this is going to be very interesting because due to the principles of progressive overload, as your children grow, are you going to be able to continue hoisting them overhead with one hand? I mean, you're carrying the calf all the way up the hill until it becomes the cow at that point, right?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Then I just have to keep working at it.
You need to set like weight goals for them, because you're like, okay, so for my weight classic competition category, I know the circus dumbbell or the dumbbell overhead record, and you just got to make sure they hit those marks to help you train for that.
Right, exactly. Like, girls, you got to get swole. It's bulking season.
It's bulking season. Mommy needs a new PR. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just to be perfectly clear with listeners, as far as I know, no children were harmed in the making of this podcast, but they might have been hoisted overhead.
No, that exactly. They were hoisted overhead, and they do come to the gym with me, and we do kind of like mini versions of what I'm doing. So I have Atlas stones in my garage gym, and then my older daughter will come in, and we have this like 5-pound med ball, and she watches me do stone to shoulder, and then she picks it up and she does her own little stone to shoulder.
Okay, I'm going on another tangent. Take us through your home gym. Like, don't like, not visually. We're not like this video people aren't going to see, but describe your home gym. Make us all very envious. You're the strongman athlete with Atlas stones at your beck and call. Go ahead, tell us what the setup is.
Yeah. So it's funny because when we moved into our home, we live in Toronto, I took one look at the garage and I looked at my husband and I said, that is a gym. He was like, no, we live in Toronto. In the winter, you're going to want to have a car in there so you don't have to brush snow off of it. And then the pandemic happened and we started to like slowly amass little bits of equipment and, you know, you couldn't find anything. And my coach, who's also a strongman athlete, was like, hey, I got a guy. He's got a warehouse in the suburbs. And if you text him what you're looking for, he will somehow have it. And the guy still on my phone is Johnny Plates. I don't know his real name.
Johnny Plates. Oh my God, that's the best. That's great.
Yes. So I would text Johnny Plates. Hey, I need a squat rack. Hey, I need a set of plates. And go out there. And, you know, once you have a squat rack in there, it's a gym. You can't put a car in there. We have since brought in, let's see, we have a regular barbell, a trap bar. We've got a rowing machine. I got a sled. The stones I got from someone on Kijiji who just like, drove them over to my house. They made them in their house. I don't really know. I have a keg that I got from a CrossFit gym that didn't need it. And then my newest addition is I bought a circus dumbbell.
But you have your daughters. Why do you even need a circus dumbbell?
I know, it's really, I could just press them.
Annie, I'm getting very pedantic here. This is all details. Okay, now I got to ask, how did you originally get, I do want to talk about the project. I do want to talk about the book, I promise. But one thing that's so fascinating about your story is I've actually had people on the podcast, I've talked to folks on the podcast who are authors, and they immerse themselves in a particular slice or slices of strength culture for articles or books or films, documentaries. But you were in and of the space well before that. What was your first introduction?
Yeah, so I was not an athletic kid. I'll go way back for you for a minute because this is part of the book. One of my earliest memories of sports was playing Little League when I was 10 and never getting on base. Just really feeling like I was not good at this. And I remember it was kind of mortifying. I had the MVP game ball once for not hitting the ball and getting on base, but for getting hit with the ball and getting an automatic walk.
I mean, hey, you know, it's part of the game.
And I kind of internalized this idea for all of adolescence that I was just not athletic. I just did not have this ability. I was about, I think I was like 20, 21. I had to play a softball game with the company I was working for. I had to do it. I had to get up to bat. And I went and I hit the ball. And as soon as I had the chance, I ran off to the side of the field and I called my mom. And I was like, Mom, guess what? I hit the ball. I played softball and I hit the ball. And like, aren't you proud of me? I finally made contact with the ball after all those swings and misses. And she was like, that's great, but you never swung at the ball in Little League. You just would stand there scared. And it was truly this moment where it's like, you know, they say kind of the near-death experience, you know, your life flashes before your eyes, but they don't tell you that about like your most mortifying experience. And that was this for me. And I realized I had just sort of told myself this story my whole life, and maybe I wasn't bad at athletics. So I then went and ran a bunch of marathons. And then when that wasn't enough, I signed up for triathlons. When that wasn't enough, I did an Ironman. And I finished an Ironman, and incidentally, I signed up for triathlons not being able to swim at all. Like I could, you know, doggy paddle. So learned how to do that. Signed up for CrossFit without knowing how to do anything in CrossFit. Loved it. And then made a friend in one of my morning classes there who said, you've got to come and try this strongman class with me on Saturdays. It was a global strongman gym, which at the time was in Hell's Kitchen and is now in Brooklyn. And I went, and that very first day, I picked up a 90-pound Atlas stone and I got it to my shoulder. And there's a photo, there's like photo evidence of this. I just had this feeling of, oh my God, I can do anything. And I fell in love with it. And from there, I signed up for a competition. I was doing personal training. I just loved it.
There is such an interesting difference between picking up a carefully calibrated barbell where everything is, you know, to the millimeter defined and specific, comparing that to the first time you just pick up a really heavy rock.
Yeah.
It's just, it triggers something different in the brain. That's my theory. And you've talked to many more people about that specifically than I have. So you would probably know, but there's just something about like, let's pick up a big rock.
Yes.
It just feels like a sense of accomplishment.
That's it. And there's something very, it feels very human to do that. It's, you know, it's me pick up big rock thing, but like, but it does. And there's, you can't compare that to anything else because it's just so, there's something, I hate to use, you know, the buzzword of it, but it's just primal.
That is a buzzword, and that will be deleted from the transcript and recording. You have two more before you get a full strikeout. You took a swing.
Yeah. If I say functional fitness, is it just over?
Okay. Well, that's, we have one left now. You have one left. I'm joking. Only kind of. Okay. So walk me through, because I know a little bit about this, but I'm trying not to just use my perspective. So I had a great time when we chatted. It was probably almost 2 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
For the book. You reached out to me and I was shocked. I was like, anyone wants to talk to me about this? Like those who can't lift write about lifting. And not to say I can't lift, but I've never been very good. I've competed. I've just never been very good at it. And so when you reached out and you wanted to chat with someone from BarMed, I was a little flabbergasted. But honestly, I had a fantastic time and it was really cool sharing our perspective as a company that gets millions and millions of eyeballs every month regarding how strength has evolved and how people are interacting with it in content. So my perspective on this is like super, super nerdy as a bit of a keyboard warrior. But I would like to hear about your process. Okay, you have the idea that you want to go on this journey and you want to document it and you want to write this book and you want to really examine the human relationship with strength in a really high level, I don't want to say academic way because that makes it sound like the book is boring and it's not, you know, like this is not just for academicians. This is for everyone who's interested in strength. Walk us through that process, how you figure out who to talk to, how you determine what to do to talk about your own perspective and journey.
Yeah. So a big thing for me was, you know, I wanted to talk to big name athletes, certainly, but I wanted to talk to people who had really interesting and relatable stories, first and foremost. And that was the big thing for me. So some of this was, you know, putting out calls on Instagram saying, hey, I'm looking for athletes who want to talk about this. And the very first people that I interviewed came from that and became really impactful people in my book. And then a lot of this was also then getting, you know, connected through certain athletes that I spoke to. A lot of this was actually getting out there. So I spoke to people I competed with at the amateur competitions, but then I also flew down to Daytona for official strongman games. And there I interviewed Colin Brace. I interviewed Nick Best. I met Big Laws, who I then interviewed later over the phone, and Nadia Stowers. The list goes on. I mean, I got to speak to so many incredible people from there. And then I flew out to Columbus and went to the Arnold and got to speak to people there as well and get those stories. And, you know, what got included in the book were really the ones where it helped me understand, and I think will help readers understand, why pushing your limits is something that is important for everybody. And kind of the lessons that you get from that, of learning about facing your fears and how you can, you know, help with your anxiety, your day-to-day stress levels, fear of failure, which was a huge, huge thing for me. And one of the things that I learned the most about while doing this book.
Which interview surprised you the most? Who was it with?
Okay. My favorite quote in the book actually came from Colin Brace.
Who is Colin? A lot of people listening to this podcast do know who Colin Brace is, but for those who don't, who is Colin Brace?
So he was once a competitor in World's Strongest Man. He's an Olympic bobsledder, and he's also the founder and creator of Giants Live, the Strongman Arena series. So he said to me, and I have this written down next to me because I did not want to get this wrong because I love this quote so much. He said, "The guy who wins World's Strongest Man is invariably somebody who has a hole in his heart. He thinks he'll be satisfied when he's crowned king of the world, but he isn't. He wakes up the next day and finds out that he's just the same guy he was the day before. That's a terrifying thought."
Oh, wow. Let's give that space for a second.
I'm just going to sit with you.
Oh, okay. Please continue. I want to sit with that for a second.
Yeah. And it was, you know, when he said it to me, I was like, wow, that's powerful. And I can't wait to include that. But it didn't feel relevant to my life. And then as I moved forward with this book, I competed in some amateur competitions and eventually got to go to nationals. And I didn't expect to do that for the book. And when I went there and things didn't necessarily go the way that I wanted them to, I couldn't figure out why I felt just kind of so upset about it. Nationals for me had been something I've been wanting to do forever in this sport. That to me was the pinnacle. And I always said, if I just make it onto that stage, that's enough. And I realized it's not just about the guy who wins something. It's just that if you always see success as winning, you're never going to be satisfied. You have to appreciate the journey and the small wins on their way there. And so it allowed me, looking back at that quote, it allowed me to go back and say, okay, you pulled a personal record 300-pound deadlift in training. You didn't get the 340-pound deadlift at nationals, but that was beyond out of reach. You did this thing, and that's what's important. And so it was fun to kind of get that interview and then a year later realize how relevant it was to my life.
Wow, that's that. You answered like my next four or five questions. So I'm doing the thing as a podcast host where I have to stall for time. Who was the person or the interview that you got, but maybe thought it was a bit of a reach or weren't expecting to actually get them on the record?
Ooh, okay. Two, I think.
Okay, yeah.
I reached out to Rob Kearney and he replied immediately. And I just didn't anticipate that because he's such a giant in this world and gave me a really wonderful, really candid interview about kind of finding his why and finding his place in the sport. And that was particularly meaningful to me because I read his children's book with my daughters all the time and they love it.
Rob is great, and I'm actually a little offended because I could have connected you with Rob, and I'm sure that actually might have not been the way to go because Rob would have been like, "Oh, it's coming from David." Definitely not.
No.
Definitely not. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Okay, who's the other?
The other one, there's a bunch. But while I was talking to Colin Bryce, Nick Best walked out. And Colin just goes, pulls him over, and he's like, Nick Best, we're doing this interview about this book about strength. Why did you get into strength? And I don't want to give away much of what he said because I want people to read the book, but it was this really emotional moment. And seeing somebody of that size, like you just don't expect that. And he then, once Colin and I finished talking, Nick stayed and we ended up chatting for another like 45 minutes. And he's not somebody I ever would have thought I would have spoken to for this.
Yeah, Nick's had a really interesting journey over the decades, a lot of really cool perspective. That is fantastic. What do you think will surprise people about the book and about it's interesting because you weave this through your own experience. You said 75 people, roughly 75 people. And then you weave your own journey and own narrative through that. You're kind of the lens, right? What do you think might surprise people about this book?
I think it would probably be that the biggest lesson that I took from all of these athletes and all of these experts, and then just from my own experience, is that ultimately lifting is not about success, it's about failure. And, I think anybody who's done CrossFit knows that's like the first thing you learn in CrossFit, right? You do your foundations and they teach you the basics of the movement, but then they also teach you how to fail and how to bail out from under a bar because that's a sport where it is absolutely expected that you're pushing up against your limits. And at some point, you're going to fail, right? You're going to not be able to lift that thing that you want to lift. And I think on social media, we post all of our successes and we don't post a lot of our failures. And strength teaches you to be uniquely prepared to handle that. And I was really scared of failure for a very long time. And I still am to some extent, but I'm starting to embrace it more and say, okay, I didn't pick up this heavy thing today, but next time I'll go back and I'll put that weight back on the bar and I'll be a little stronger and maybe I'll get it next time. And that's something that you learn in the gym, and then you take that out into the rest of your life. And that's invaluable, that lesson.
Now that this book is complete, what is next for you in your own strength journey?
So I just finished my competition season for this year. I did, so last, well, last year, 2 years ago when I was doing my amateur competitions, I competed just in the US because there were no competitions during COVID here in Canada. This year I competed just here. So two amateur level ones. And then I just did these Stones of Strength at the Highland Games, which was a blast. And one of the things that kind of got me to be, I guess, courageous enough to go do that after really only having lifted Atlas stones, most of the other rocks that I was going to have to lift that day, I had never touched before.
Well, what kind of other rocks for those? Yeah. So they're Atlas stones, which are spherical. What yes. other stones were you did you have to lift?
We had to do stone put. So we had a 25-pound stone that we had to, you know, do like shot put style. And we had to do a stone press overhead. We had to do the Atlas stones. And we had a Dinny Stone style walk with obviously not Dinny Stone weight. And it was just, it was really, really cool. But it's not something I would have gone to before, having not been able to train for it. And, you know, I continue to use these lessons that I learned from people I spoke to for the book in my life. And one of them was something that Big Waz said to me, which was that he never wanted to show up anywhere where he knew he was going to win. Because if you know you're going to win, what's the point in going and testing yourself? And so this competition, I was not only the smallest person, but I think one of the few people who hadn't gotten their hands on most of the stones before. And it was open, no weight classes. And it was awesome. It was so fun to just lift up a bunch of rocks in a rainstorm with a bunch of awesome women. I can't express enough how much I think people need to just go in and just try it.
Do you have any big goals right now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, a big thing, and this is something that I would never have said before because I was scared of it, and I just sort of hoped it would go away and not show up in competitions. But overhead press has been my nemesis for a very long time. I just get scared of putting anything over my head. And in the off season, I have asked my coach, hey, I want to just work on, well, not just, but I want to really, really focus on overhead and technique and strength. And I don't want to be scared of it. So when I go back into competing next year, I don't have to look at a competition and say, oh, well, this one has, you know, a gigantic overhead press and I'm too scared. I don't want to do it.
Well, I have news for you. The overhead press is not overhead events are not going anywhere in the sport of strongman. As I like to tell people, if you don't want to put things overhead, your only option in strength is powerlifting. That's literally your only option because every other strength sport, besides maybe arm wrestling, involves putting things overhead. Sometimes light things for a lot of repetitions, sometimes heavy things for a few repetitions. But you're going to have to go overhead at some point unless you only want to bench press.
Yeah. Well, I did. One of the things I did in this book and in preparation for nationals was I actually worked with a performance psychologist, and I wanted to understand what is this block I have against this. And she told me something really fascinating because I said to her, I was like, well, it's fear of failure. Like I'm physical failure. I'm scared that I'm going to drop the bar or the circus dumbbell or the whatever on my head. And that's what's scary to me. And she, through talking to me, said, it's not that. What's happening to you is you choose to focus on the fear instead of on the things that you know you could do to get the lift. Instead of focusing on your cues, you're focusing on what scares you. And I think that's because you're scared that if you do everything that you know you're supposed to do and you still don't get the lift, then you have to deal with the fact that maybe you weren't strong enough to do that. And that's what scares you. I was like, just, you know, blew my mind a little bit and really helped me understand, you know, go out there and it's not about anything other than focusing on what you're doing when you're doing it in that moment. And again, not to kind of, you know, be a broken record, but that's something that you take out of the gym too into the rest of your life.
This makes me think, you know, when we were in elementary and middle school, I had some great guidance counselors, right? And you kind of lose that. That's not built into the system as an adult. And so you either go to psychologists or therapists, and that's not like a given. You have to seek those out. Those aren't just like assumed to be part of your life as an adult, but I wish they were, right? Because when we were in elementary school, you had a problem, you go to the guidance counselor, right? And so you have had to kind of build and find those support systems along this journey. And it's so cool to hear that you're taking some of those lessons outside the gym, because that's something that I have talked about ad nauseum, how impactful it's been to me. But you know what? I didn't just write a really cool book on that. And so no one's really listening to my thoughts. So I'm really glad that you're here to back me up on that, Alyssa. I really, really appreciate that.
Awesome.
Just to remind folks, what's the book called? Where can people get the book? All that sort of fun stuff.
Okay, so the book is called Secrets of Giants, A Journey to Uncover the True Meaning of Strength. So that's title and subtitle. You can buy that book wherever books are sold. You can find me on mostly Instagram. I joined Twitter, but I'm not so good at Twitter. So like you can find me on there at Alyssa Aegis, but like mostly you're going to find me doing stuff on Instagram at Alyssa Aegis. And then that's also my website, which has clips to all of the other things that I've written about strength, because I don't just write the book about strength, but I also do some freelance writing about it as well.
Absolutely fantastic. Alyssa, it is so awesome to chat with you. It's fun to actually be the one interviewing you for once, because, you know, I don't get to do the back and forth quite a bit. Thank you so much. Super, super excited. Wishing all success in the world for the book and for what's to come with you.
Oh, and I want to tell you really quickly, because
please.
You mentioned our conversation, but I think there were two parts of our conversation that made it into the book, I believe. Yes. And one was, we had spoken about why people are so fascinated watching other people do feats of strength, because that was a really interesting thing for me. And I didn't dig into it a ton in the book, but, you know, you had said something that really resonated with me, that, you know, as much as you maybe would play recreational basketball, you're never really going to know what it's like to be LeBron James and dunk a basketball. But watching Eddie Hall, say, pull his world record deadlift, you know, you've done something, you've pulled your own personal record. And so there's this kind of bit where you can get a sense of maybe that same stuff, not the same exact suffering, but something similar to the suffering that he went through for that. And then story that was super impactful for me was when you talked about your start of your weightlifting when you were in college, the warehouse with the snow plows and the bus that you had to take out there, and how you don't just look back on that with fond memories, that you remember that even at the time you loved it that much. And I thought that was awesome.
I really appreciate you sharing that and taking me back to that conversation. There are very few times in life when you get to, in a very Ferris Bueller self-aware sense, say, oh, the good old days are occurring right now.
Yeah.
And I think for so many people, those memories that you form, whether it's training alone, training with people, but really beginning to appreciate the journey, to give a call back to what you said earlier. Yeah. It's one of the few times in life where I've heard many people who are in the strength community say, oh, I recognized at the time, I was aware that this was impactful and this was the good old days. It's not one of those things where you look back on it and you're like, wow, remember that? I didn't know how good I had it. It's one of those things that makes you stop and say, well, I have it. This is great. This is where I want to be in the here and now. And so I am thrilled that made it into the book. It's a sentiment that I really enjoyed talking with you about a couple of years ago. And also, just to give folks a sense here, books do not happen overnight. Alyssa has been putting in work into this for years. Please check out the book. We're going to link the information in the show notes as well, and in the corresponding article on barbed.com. Would highly encourage people to check it out. I am a bit biased since I'm in the book, but Alyssa, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.